I've been kind of looking at something, and when Brother Joe asked me, I've been looking at some things, and then but the Lord kind of afterwards led me into something else. What I was looking at was that where Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked the question, "What am I to do with thee?" Which brings the question to each and every person that's ever lived, that Jesus stands before every person. Pilate was not really, Jesus was not really on trial. It was Pilate that was actually on trial. And it's the same thing with all of us. And then Caiaphas rent his clothes. Well, that was an abomination in the sight of God. And he divorced Israel. But anyway, that was what I was working on, but the Lord changed my mind. Y'all, if you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter, the third chapter, and look at something here. 2 Peter, the third chapter. That's not what we're going to do. Cherry likes for me to go off chasing rabbits like that and tells me about it later. But y'all forgive me for doing that. But it was just so interesting to me because in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, in the old Levitical law, Bruce, it's interesting, the priest was never to rend his clothes. When he did, he condemned his people. And so so many things that happened when Jesus was standing before Pilate, and then after the crucifixion, the holiest and holies, the temple was rent. It was rent. In other words, all that had been was erased, which is something kind of what we're talking about here. But I want to read a little bit about this. This is Peter. This was written, of course, by Peter. And I believe he was possibly the oldest of the apostles. Everybody knows how many apostles were there? It was 12. 12 of them, right. And then, of course, Judas sinned, and then the apostles took it on themselves to put another guy in there, and his name was Mattathias, I think. Something like that, Mattathias. But anyway, Peter wrote this. I believe that Peter was much like us. He was rebellious in some ways. I believe Peter was the kind of guy that you didn't want to mess with. He was such a powerful individual in the scriptures. In that he fell before the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm a sinful man." I mean, when he found out who Jesus was, and then he denied him three times, and then after the resurrection, he was so embarrassed that he didn't even want to talk to him. Jesus is up on the shore, and Peter's down here in the water, and Jesus come to talk to him. And Peter, I think Jesus looked into the soul of Peter as he looks into the soul of each and every one of us, and he sees our needs. He sees our desires. He sees the efforts that we want. And Peter here was somebody that had, he loved the Lord with all of his heart. He's the boldest one of the apostles in that when they came to get him, it was Peter that jumped up. And that's another thing about Peter. I believe Peter was a man of the streets. Tommy was talking about folks of the streets. He jerked out his knife and he cut Malchus's ear off. And Jesus said, "Not so, Peter." And he picked up the guy's ear. And I guess that guy didn't know. He stuck it back on his head and he healed. And the guy just stood there for a minute. I bet he would have noticed if the Lord had put it on backwards, would he? But he didn't. But he put it on right, because you see, when God heals, he heals. And Jesus. But anyway, he said, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both to stir up your minds and a way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken of by the holy prophets and the commandments of the apostles, the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, that there will come about in the last days scoffers walking in their own lusts, saying that where is the promise of his coming? We're having that today. The people, the doubters, the scoffers. He said, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from beginning of creation. He says, for they were willing to be ignorant of the word of the Lord of heavens and were of old, and the earth standing out of the water. This was the past world he's talking about there. And he said, well, maybe I can get into that. What he's saying now in Hebrews, the first chapter, It says this, God who in sundry times hath in times past spoken unto us by the prophets. You know, what he's saying here, and Peter, I believe, he even made the statement several times, or assimilated, that he was an ignorant man. But Peter looked back and he saw things that you and I see today. The past world, we understand. The sin world. Listen, Genesis 1:1 said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Anyway, it goes on to say that the earth was void and without form. The earth was so different in that past world. But let me tell you something about this past world. The first world that God created, it was a created world by God. God created it. He left no question about it. We have the lesson in, I think, in second or third chapter of Genesis where he tells us how he did it. How did he do it? He spoke. He didn't take it like the joke where the guy, the scientists all got together and said, God, we are able to make man. I know most of you have heard it. So we got this 150 pounds of dirt here, and we know how to make man now, you know, and everything. And he said, okay, we'll go ahead and make him. So they said, well, okay, we're getting 150 pounds of dirt. God said, no, that's not fair. You get your own dirt. See, God spoke and it happened. And it's just like in 1 John, John makes the comparison. If you want to compare something that's almost like in spiritual, in physical context, look at the first part of Genesis where God created the heavens and the earth, and then you look at 1 John. Both of them is the Word. John said in 1 John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus became the form of God. We studied about that this week in Philippians, the second chapter, that Jesus was with God from the beginning, but he took on the form of a man, and that he could participate in our life struggles and things like this. Never carried a pocketbook or a billfold or anything like that. Didn't need it. But he said, I am coming to the world. He brought news of God. He brought evidence of God. He brought just several things. Well, one thing, when God, he showed divinity to humanity. Jesus was the God-man that showed divinity to humanity. Mankind had not seen one like Jesus Christ, a man like him. Listen, the man that saves for the centuries, the one that told the Caiaphas, he said, listen, whenever he rent his clothes, like I say, if you want to look that up, look it up. Leviticus, the 10th chapter, is where that scripture is. It said that when that priest rent his clothes, he condemned Israel to punishment. And they have suffered for it. But anyway, he showed divinity to humanity when he did this. God showed himself to mankind. Jesus said, if I've been with you so long that you not recognize that once you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Because the apostles, they wanted something else, you know. They wanted a little more, you know. He said, divinity to humanity. He also showed eternity to time limitation. You know what? We live in time. We experience right now time. Tommy's hair was not always gray. Mine's not always been gray, you know. Our time, we've grown old. I remember now I'm judging my life kind of by the growth of my grandchildren. And listen, some of y'all have seen my grandchildren since they're little bitty kids, and now they're great big tall kids. And it ain't going to be long. You know, I mean, they'll be married off and stuff like that. But we experience time, but God doesn't. So when Jesus came, he said, look, they said to him, he said, well, there's a scripture somewhere that says, lo, I am he. Lo, I am he. He told the woman at the well. She asked him a question. The same answer that Moses got when he was standing before the burning bush. What was that, Bruce? I am. I am that I am. No beginning, no end. So he showed it. Another thing that he did on that day that he was born, he showed mercy for justice. What is it? Romans 5, I believe it says, for while we were yet sinners, God came to the... He saved the world. While we were yet sinners, I'm still a sinner. Listen, I'm saved, and I have to struggle through this life to try to keep myself clean. Paul said one place, and I've mentioned it several times in our class, work out your own salvation. Paul said that. Once we've accepted Christ, it's up to us to do the best we can. to try. And so that's what he was saying here. And what he was saying here in this, but that's what happened to these people. He said in this, he says, for this day they were willingly ignorant by the word of God, and the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, the destruction. This past world was not only a created world, it was a condemned world. This world here is too. He's going to say it on further on. Peter has given us a lesson 2,000 years ago. That's what I love so much about the Scripture. You can open any place of Scripture here, and some of the Scriptures that I love so much is, well, right now my mind's going on this. I better leave the Scriptures alone because I'm getting old and I can't recall them that quick. But he said, but anyway, he goes on and he says here in this, he's talking about that past world. He said it's standing in water. Remember, the flood. And then God gave the rest of the word. He said, and the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now. Now look, he's making a contrast in those Scriptures right now. He said, look, he said, that world was gone away. He said, but look now. Let's look at it. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store and reserved for fire against the day of judgment and perdition to ungodly men. This, the present world. So Peter there has gone through the historical background of the prophets and the old world that was destroyed by water, and he's moved now to this present world that will not be destroyed by water. Every time we see that rainbow in the sky, we know that God's not going to destroy this earth by water anymore. He says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, for the day of the Lord is as 1,000 years, and a year is 1,000 as one day. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. So the world back, the first world, and I kind of wrote these things down, had to better stay with the little outline I made here, so because I'll get off somewhere and start chasing rabbits, as I've already done. But this present world here he's talking about here is a scoffing world. We're seeing that. In the very face of God, we'll abort 56 million babies in this country. That's right. In the very face of God, and against all the natural things that we can understand, we will, by law now, condone the marriage between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. In the face of God, we will do all the things that we know that are wrong to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, when we get to the place, our nation and this world, not just our nation, look, we sit and watch on TV now and we see hundreds of thousands of people. We see people, we saw Christians, the Coptic Christians not long ago, in yellow suits, beheaded to a seashore, and they beheaded them, the inhumanity that we have. Over 3,000 people can be killed in our own country, and all of them in the name of God. Somehow or another, this, and people say, well, this earth cannot burn, or we're headed in the right direction. No, no, no. No, no, no. And then somebody asks the question and says, well, no, wait. How is it that this word can be, this world can burn? Listen, we're discovering all kinds of things about this world. Hydrogen, oxygen makes water. What's there's one thing about hydrogen and oxygen that really arises when you think about it? What is it? It's flammable. Everything is made up of an atomic structure. We're finding out, our scientists are finding out that the mind that created all of this was so vast that they can't even they can't figure out some of the stuff. I mean, we've gotten the DNA, but I guess DNA is going to be pretty elementary in the mind of God. When we talk about healing, when we see all the things, all of the tools that God has given the doctors today. And we don't see miracles. Where'd you go? y'all forgive me. We see miracles every day. We see miracles in the hospital. We see things taking place. Hey, they can go up in a vein now. They can fix a problem with a foot. They can fix all kind of things. God has given all these things to mankind. And then we say, I wonder when God's going to do something. You know? Amen. But still, the scoffers continue. I mean, it almost makes me sick. I want to say something, and I don't usually get into this party stuff, but I can't understand these people. I can't understand it. I mean, Eve is back there is holding that little old baby. How in the world could civilized people destroy children? It's like I never will forget Ronald Reagan made a statement one time about abortion. He said, it's amazing to me that the one who doesn't have the choice is the one that's in the womb. So we try to go our own way, the scoffers. And another thing, it's a sinning world. This world is completely sometimes satisfied with it. No longer do we have to worry too much about one of the most sacred things that God has placed in the hands of mankind, and that's marriage. You know, he married Adam and Eve before the church was ever established. It's God, the man, and the woman. God, the man, and the woman. But now we've gone off on our own way. Such in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, for they were marrying and giving in marriage. And continue. Want to read something really interesting? Read Matthew, the 24th chapter, the Mount Olivet Discourse, where it talks about all the things that would take place. And people, we get to where because the evidence of God's penalty does not come right then, we kind of don't worry about it. Our nation does anyway. And we condemn, the leadership sometimes in our own countries condemn those who condemn that. In other words, if that's wrong, and they say it's wrong, and it's wrong by the book. But anyway, it's a sinning world, but not only that, he says something here in this verse that really he says in the seventh verse here, he says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store and reserved against the day of judgment. So it's a sentenced world that we live in. Now listen, I don't want you to be deceived about this. I don't know when God's going to call a halt or call an end. The last time I got to preach, I know I didn't get to what I wanted to as much, but about eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. You know what? We have the promise that God has given us. And I'm going to tell you something. All of this stuff that we're seeing in the scriptures here, what he's talking about in this sentence world here, this day that fire will end all of this. In other words, what Peter was trying to do, he was trying to convince people here that in this next verse he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, for the day of the Lord is 1,000 years. So he even tells you that it's a sentenced world, but he's also said God's patient. I believe personally that God has given America another chance. I believe that God is so long-suffering, and he loves us more. You know what? I mentioned it the other day in Sunday school, and it's something that's really hit me. And in these scriptures, he said, perished. John 3:16, the most quoted scripture. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he chose mankind over his son. For God so loved the world that he gave. Gave means I'm making a choice. I can either keep this or I can give it. God gave his son. When Abraham went up to that mountain with Isaac and he raised the knife to stab him, before that knife could come down to stab, the angel grabbed his hand and said, no. But when Jesus went up to Golgotha, the hand of God failed and Jesus was given for us. For God so loved the world that he chose us to save us by giving his own son. And then he says something, the center word of that scripture to me in John 3:16 is this, perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not What he's saying is, if you look at that scripture and you kind of sum it up and make it, and he's saying this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that you shouldn't perish. God gave his son. So each and every one of us, God, individually, so that child wouldn't perish, Eva. When you really think about that, the creator of heaven, the creator of all that is, the birds that fly, the fish that's in the water, all that we have. And he said, I'm going to save anybody. And that's love. Amazing to me. Amazing. But he says here, he said, look, he says this, and so we're sad. We're sad. We've talked about the first world, which was the past world. Peter talks about the present world. And then he says something here. He says in the 10th verse, he says, but the Lord of the day, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know. And the noise and the elements shall melt in the fervent heat, and the earth shall be, and the earth and the works shall be burned therein. Seeing that this mean these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought to be in holy conversation? And here is the new world. In the 13th verse, nevertheless, the promised world, Terry, the promise. I long to see Sherry's dad. He died in 08. I long to see him again. He used to say that. my son-in-law, if it don't matter what size shoes you give him, we'd all laugh about it. He said, he can wear them. It don't make no difference. Even if he has to cut the toes out. Because it was kind of a joke with Mr. Kurt. And there's so many of us that each one of us can recall, you know. And we was talking about the Sowersby, the brokenhearted, because we lose something. The only thing that I could say to her the other day is I just hugged her and I said, it's one day at a time. And he'll be there. He'll be there. I heard that story of the mother that had a bunch of children around her and said that whenever she came time to die, none of them was saved, and she just looked up and said, be there. Be there. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see Jesus. I want to see the man. I want to see him. But anyway, he goes on here and he says this. That's the promised world. He said, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the King of heaven. I believe that he's the Son of the living God. When Peter looked down and all of the apostles were standing there and said, Lord, Lord, who are you? And he said, they said, men are saying that you're this one and that. And then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And you know what? A lot of people give old Thomas a hard time, but when Thomas walked into that, the 8 days later after Jesus said risen, he fell down and he said, my Lord and my God. I honestly believe that the power, whenever we see Jesus, if he were to burst them doors over walking, I believe that everybody here, you're going to fall on your face and say, my Lord and my God, what have you done? And then we'll see the new heaven and the new earth. And he says here, It's not only that. He says, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then he goes on to say, he said, look for these things. Be diligent. He gives us this lesson, Peter. He says that ye may hold him in peace without spot and blameless. Oh, I got to hurry up. Sherry, you should have pointed at me. And then he goes on to here say, I'm going to say the 17th verse. Now look at this. Peter, in his own way, trying to encourage. I was reading a book the other day about Peter. It's called The Flames of Rome. And Ryan has read it, and he told me, he said, Daddy, it's got a depiction of Peter's crucifixion there in it, where he requested to be crucified upside down, and they killed his wife before he did. And it's Nero, or Herod, or Nero, I'm sorry. Anyway, it tells of Peter, the description is of Peter as he sat there, and he looked at him, and he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified right side up. But he looked for the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, he says this. He says, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also be led away in the error of the wicked and fall away from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to him be glory in God forever and ever. Seeing the things that we know and understand, grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, lest you also be led away. You know what? There's not a person in here you couldn't be tripped up. Sherry and I were talking about it the other day. There's not a person in here that Satan's not after you. What do you know what it says in this same book of Peter about Satan? What is he? What is he, Bruce? His business. Yeah. Roaring lion. Seeking whom he may devour. If you live in the flesh, he can devour you. If you live in the spirit, he can't eat you.